Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
MLB playoffs continue today with the Mariners and Tigers. Schedules start at 4. There's rain in the forecast there. That series tied one game apiece. Blue Jays and Yankees. Blue Jays lead 2-0. That game is tonight at 8 o'clock. And let's talk some baseball now. Let's head out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. He's an Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our BBT crew. It's Mike Bordick. And Bordy, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Let's start somewhere. Jason asked a question yesterday. The Orioles fired Brandon Hyde a long time ago. And the offseason's now for them been going on for a minute. Are you surprised we haven't heard any industry reports of any names that the Orioles may have interviewed for this managerial job?
Or, Bordy, that they've let any of these existing coaches out of their contracts to pursue other opportunities or any of that stuff that's happening throughout the industry?
Yeah, no, I don't know. Nobody knows, what's going on. I would hope that they've been kind of getting out there and asking questions and seeing who might be interested in coming over to the Orioles. I still just believe that Manzolino is going to be the guy, not because they're not aggressive enough. I just feel like they want to stay in-house, only because they're scared and about the information and they want to keep it all together so nobody else knows. And I don't know that anybody else would even – yeah, I guess the modern-day manager is used to this kind of stuff, yeah. But it's got to fit, Mike Elias's mold.
Yes.
Really, it really does, because in our opinion, I think, we think of a baseball guy that wants to, charge these guys up and situational baseball and execute kind of like playoff baseball, I guess, is what we're supposed to be watching.
Yeah.
But that's what we kind of hope. But I think it's just, since everything is so analytically driven, I just think they need somebody that's 100%. Because if you start bucking the system, then the whole thing falls apart. So I think they need somebody that understands, analytics and appreciates them as well as Mike Elias and his crew.
So to take that a step further, too, then, do you think a lot of these top pitching coaches and hitting coaches could be back as well?
Well, I do.
Yeah,
I really
do.
I think everybody's probably going to come back. I just, unless some of the coaches, if they give coaches an opportunity, to go out there, the guy that I would think would be snatched straight up is Anthony Sanders at first base. I'm a little upset that he hasn't even been mentioned in a manager's talk. I think he is a real baseball kind of purist. He's been around the analytics. He's been around the young guys, but they haven't even brought his name up. And if he were to go somewhere, I think you'd see him really thrive. He's just got a really good baseball mind, and he communicates well with the younger players. So it's all kind of interesting and up in the air right now how that managerial search goes. But it would be cool, man, I think, to get an old school guy in here. you know, just for character's sake, and see if they can't motivate this young group to play some good, consistent baseball.
Well, Bordy, like any, you think that it will end up being Tony Mancinelino, but of guys, and we've seen managers get fired, are there any names out there that you'd like to see be the next manager for the Orioles?
Well, I thought that that Schumacher guy was the guy that they were thinking of, because all things linked up, right? Because everything, in some form or fashion, has to have a connection with either the Astros or the Cardinals.
Yep.
And he did. He fit all those bills. And, you know, so he's off the list because the Rangers obviously knew what they were doing and planned ahead and and locked him down. So as far as the other names, you know, it's just all speculation. I know. And for some of them, you got to wait for the championship season to be over, because Ryan Flaherty's a guy that, you know, we talked about on the Be More Baseball podcast and interviewed. You know, we interviewed Bobby Dickerson, who I think would be a great, you know, manager, at least an interview. Just an incredible baseball mind, right, and has been in the game. So these guys that are in the game right now that might not have a lot of big league managing experience, I promise you that a guy like Bobby Dickerson, even Mancinelino, has had managing experience, though. So it's not like they're complete newbies and say, well, what do I do here? They know how to manage a baseball game and manage guys and put things together and deal with coaches and things like that. So I don't think we need, you know, the old crusty Buck Showalter guy that is a great baseball strategist, but, you know, isn't going to be led by analytics, would rather make up his own mind, you know, about the decision-making. And I think it's going to be hard to find that proper combination. So it seems like Mancinelino and Elias get along pretty well in that regard.
We're talking with Mike Bordick. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Bordick, I want to go back to the coaches and hitting coaches in particular. This team stopped hitting basically the second half of the year before, and they really didn't hit this year. And I know they kind of rearranged the deck chairs on the Titanic this year as far as the hitting coaches are concerned. But I admit I'm a moron, but it doesn't wash for me that these guys, like, they've had a long runway now and they're not hitting.
Yeah. Hey, and don't sell yourself short. You're a tremendous moron.
Thank you.
And that he is.
Yes. So my
world
dad.
Class.
So my
world
dad
class.
Used to tell me, yes.
this is my little piece, okay? If I'm going to get upset about one thing, is the offense, all right? There is no reason why these guys shouldn't be mashing, and I completely blame analytics because they're teaching these guys how to swing fast and swing to create these angles and things like that instead of be hitters. And put the ball in play. All this playoffs, I've heard, the reason this team's here is because they make contact.
Yeah.
The reason this team's here is because they put the ball in play. The reason the Blue Jays are kicking the freaking Yankees' butt right now is because they're putting the ball in play.
Yeah.
I mean, let's go. Can we not be hitters first and then learn how to freaking launch the ball and stuff?
Preach.
They have so much information in their heads. If you talk to every major league hitter, they won't talk anything about mechanics. They'll talk about simplifying the damn game, see the ball, and hit the ball. Everything else is just minutiae that just causes cloudiness and lack of consistency, and that's exactly what we're seeing with the Orioles.
Love fired up, 40.
But it also seems like that this is a self-fulfilling prophecy, though, because they're not going to go get Joe Girardi in here, right? Like, they're going to stick with what they're comfortable with, which is someone who's willing, as that manager, forward-facing, like, daily CEO, right? The CEO of your daily baseball product in season. He's willing to adhere to that gospel. So the gospel ain't changing, right?
Well, it's kind of interesting to me. Okay, if you have your eyes open, if you're not just at the end of the season putting the top of the board game back on the box and say, okay, let's try it again. We'll roll the dice next spring training. If you're not that type of team and you really want to get better as an organization, then you better start listening and watching the game and seeing how successful teams do it, okay? You don't need a big payroll. You need to learn how to play the game correctly.
Yes.
And that's what we were all so upset about at the beginning of the year.
okay, everybody's hurt, but why are they playing the game so poorly? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So teach these guys how to play baseball the right way. Now, listen, Manzolino at his presser with Elias at the end said, next spring training,
he
alluded to something like a 90s style spring training. Now, I don't know how that was accepted to you guys or Mike Elias or anybody else, but in my mind, a 90s style spring training is all about situational baseball, repetition with cutoffs and relays, repetition with handling bunt plays, everything over and over and over again until it is instinctual. And these guys do not have baseball instincts right now, period.
I love it.
Bordy.
An early 80s style spring training, I think, was copious amounts of cocaine.
Yes, that's true.
But that's
true.
A different
It's a different time.
That's a different story.
Different time, Bordy. Bordy, what's going on the podcast?
Oh, my gosh. You know, this is why I'm fired up. We had Jane Levy. Are you guys familiar with her work?
Yeah, we had her on.
Great author. Yeah, okay. Well, she came out with a new book, said, Make Me Commissioner, or Let Me Be Commissioner.
Yes.
Okay. We interviewed her, and she has just the greatest insight and has pure passion for the game like most baseball people do, and really talks about what baseball is supposed to be like and really breaks it down and talks about how important it is that we let kids into the field and see the players and be connected, or we are going to lose not only a generation of players, but the game. What the game is really meant to be, a character builder full of values and lessons every stinking day. And we've lost it. It's become so cold that many of us that love the game of baseball have become a little unfamiliar. And she spoke passionately about that.
Bordy, you're
I
the best.
It,
thanks as always.
You
we'll
are
chat
the
next
man.
Week.
Yes. On, Bordy.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
There he is. Fired up Mike Bordick is the best Mike Bordick. Hey, coming up next, we were kind of fired up because we were thinking back to right after Brandon High got fired. And Mike,
like 4 or 5 days later, when they got around to talking about it.
Yeah. Oh, 410-583-1057. You can win tickets to see My Chemical Romance. That's 8/18/26. That's August 18th at Nats Park. You get a pair of tickets, 410-583-1057. Win My Chemical Romance tickets and get to talk to Beltway Ben as a bonus. But so Michael Elias met with the media few days after he fired Brandon Hyde, and what he said at the time kind of feels weird now that we know what we know about the fact
that
his job security was a little different than he let on. So we're going to take a look back at what he said in Milwaukee next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan.
It's a pretty hectic few days. Got Tony in place. and traveled up here with the team, and I just needed a couple days.
Mike Elias asked why he waited until Tuesday to address the media after firing Brendan Hyde over the weekend, and he said it was a hectic few days. Wanted to get Tony in place, get his feet under him, and then he did it on the road in Milwaukee.
Yeah, look, we know there's a lot of chicanery and ridiculousness involved in trying to keep their big secret under wraps as long as they did. And we know Mike Elias was behind that because he wants everything to be cloaked in secrecy. But it did strike us talking to Andy Koska, the banner last week, about the credibility gap that this front office has about basic facts and basic sort of tenets of what is expected of management of a professional sports team, and where they make it almost impossible to believe much of what comes out of their mouth because of these games they play. And we're all old enough to remember Mike Elias 2 weeks ago at a press conference saying it never occurred to him to address his new status in the aftermath of firing his manager in May. And he also, we can all remember from when he finally got around to addressing firing that manager in May in Milwaukee, saying things like, well, I have to do what things, whether they're in my best interest or not, already knowing well, he'd been promoted and he could hire his replacement.
But hearing that cut coming in, I remember we were all fired up in real time, and hearing it again, I'm fired. Like, dude, your entire clubhouse had to address Brendan Hyde getting fired. Tony Mancelino was a deer in headlights for his first couple of press conferences, and they're thrown to the wolves, and you wait a couple days because you need to collect yourself.
Like, tactic.
Dude, you're the
GM. It's fraud behavior from a fraud GM.
And you're waiting until a road trip where not a lot of the media is going to be there. Like, come on.
So let's hear Mike Elias. He was asked in Milwaukee about his job security with the way this team was doing.
I am worried about getting this team back on track right now. I'm very disappointed with where we are in the standings right now. I mean, this is a big surprise to all of us that we're in the spot that we're in. I think you look at the preseason media predictions and things like that, projections, and there's nobody that saw this to this degree. So we're pretty stunned about that, but we're reacting to it. We're not in denial about it, and I'm working to fix it as rapidly as I can, and I'm in a position where, regardless of how it affects me or my personal situation, I have to make decisions that I judge in collaboration with my bosses and the people around me to be in the best interest of the Baltimore Orioles franchise. So that's what I'm doing.
So remember, when he said that at this time, he had already been promoted to team president.
Sometime in February or March.
Yeah. So like he's talking about his job security. And that's when somebody asks you about your job security, maybe that's a nice entree to say, well, you know, I was promoted.
If you had an honest, transparent bone in your body, if you cared about your fans or your players or your manager one bit, how do you think the players found out about his promotion? I mean, this whole thing, think about what's coming out of this goofball's mouth in real time in Milwaukee. Goofball. That's goofball behavior. No, lying about your job status, coming out and telling your fans after the season, it was nowhere in my mind to address my situation when you went out of your way to spin a yarn that made people think your situation was different than you and the owners already knew it was. That's goofball behavior. That's not normal adult running a little league team, let alone running a major league baseball team behavior. He's going out of his way to act like he's going to fall on his sword if he has to, knowing he's got eight swords.
Yeah, he's been promoted.
Yeah, and when we had Andy Koska on last week, first off, it should have just been addressed during spring training, and David Rubenstein met with
the media. Yeah, he could have a press conference then.
The owner met with the media during spring training as well and could have announced it then. But at that point, when you're making a shakeup on your staff, like, that would have been the time.
You fired your skipper. You're 4 days late to admit it. You're being asked probing questions, and you're telling people, We're in full soul searching mode, and we're going to change our ways. At the same time, you're playing nefarious word games to continue to hide a promotion that you got that you know you didn't deserve. But guess what? He'd been clamoring for it for years. Well, it wasn't bestowed upon him out of nowhere. He was fighting for it from the moment the franchise changed hands. Newsflash, he was fighting for it before the franchise changed hands. I know that for a fact, Mike, you fraud.
Hey,
no emotion.
Yeah, no emotion. And by the way, I don't believe for a second he didn't think he deserved the promotion. That's one I'll push back on. I think he absolutely...
He doesn't have the balls to stand there and admit he got it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because he knows he didn't deserve it.
He thinks he deserved it. I think he thinks...
He wasn't willing to publicly acknowledge it before his season started, in which the media and smart people like us said,
yes.
Hey, Mook, you haven't done enough to fix your team.
His awkwardness when it comes to talking to us, he's the smartest guy in the room. He thinks he deserved that promotion.
He may have thought he deserved it, but he didn't have the balls to speak
That's
to it
fine.
Publicly because he knows how that would have come off. He knows what it would have looked like, and he might think he's smart, but he knows his results are horse bleep. But this is the same guy who will tell you, it was nowhere near my mind to address the situation in season while his season fell apart and while he had to fire his buddy, who was just, 18 months removed from being skipper of the year?
Yes. Same time he was GM of the year, executive of the year, whatever the heck they call it in baseball.
But you can believe anything that comes out of his mouth.
I didn't say I was doing that. But I do believe he thinks he's deserving of everything.
He thought he was so deserving of it, he wouldn't let them send out a press release acknowledging it.
Because he doesn't think you deserve the information.
No, I don't. I think he doesn't. You know what he doesn't? You know what he doesn't?
I'm not
think?
A psychiatrist, but
you
I want to
know what he
can
handle is actual accountability. He can't handle reality. That's why he lives in a calculator world with abacuses and algorithms that can never be wrong. They can never be wrong. The actual results are wrong. The injuries are wrong. The stuff that I didn't project to happen that happened is wrong. Remember, he told you before the season started how many teams in the AL East will deserve to make the playoffs.
Yes, he did.
Because his algorithm told him that.
Yes.
And unfortunately, he's got a billionaire, hook, line, and sinker, believing this nonsense.
Switch gears. The Terps had a horrible loss. Nothing good. Not a lot of nice things here between the Orioles, the Ravens, and Maryland football. Funny thing happened on the way to a win against Washington. They led 20-0 with 19 minutes left, 20-3 in the fourth quarter, and lost 24-20. We'll discuss that disaster. Jason was there. That's next here on The Fan.
It was nowhere near my mind.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I just want to leave y'all with a word. In times, you know, when people are down, I like to look to the Lord for my safety. So my verse was Jeremiah 29:11, and it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future." And in a moment like this, when everybody's down and people are pointing fingers and saying, you know, this, that, and the third, we just got to understand as a team and as a unit that this is God's plan for us. You know, we have to face adversity sometimes to come out of it stronger. Sometimes you got to break the stick to mend it back together even stronger. Same thing with your bones. So we're just going to find a way to look inside and keep moving forward. Thank you.
Impressive words from true freshman quarterback Malik Washington. Wow. He helped lead Maryland to a 20-0 lead in this football game, leading 20-0 late in the third quarter. Washington scored 24 unanswered, winning 24-20 on Saturday.
Throws that touchdown to the tight end, wide open, roll downs roll, gets him Loyola Blakefield. And the place is going nuts, and you're thinking that this thing has finally turned the corner. And then what followed was just unfathomable, even for by Loxley collapse standards, even by Loxley off of bye standards. It's unfathomable. I mean, I know people can look at their rushing numbers for the year and how pathetic they are. There was zero. I actually felt like they ran the ball on early downs pretty well, all things considered. Certainly well enough to keep themselves like balanced enough to move the ball on drives. The fact that the clock is your friend and you combine just a complete and utter unwillingness to run the ball with what looked to me to be, from my vantage point, 15 rows from the field, utter, like, it was like chaos defensively. I mean, that third and 10 play, there's two kids running back on, and then finally barely even getting in a three-point stance before the ball snapped. Like, if they get that stop, it's the game. Like, there's literally no semblance of, like, what the sideline wants and what those players think's being asked of them. Why there wasn't a timeout called there, I didn't like the Monachino hire in real time. I haven't liked much of anything I've seen from him. They have some individual talent up front. But to be suffocating a team 20-0 like that in your own building and have both sides of the ball from a schematic and coaching standpoint completely turtle up and die, I feel sorry for the kids.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the rushing. And I felt like, especially early on in that game, even though, like you said, the numbers aren't that good and they haven't been that good all year long in terms of running the football, they wanted to establish it, and they wanted to stay with it. They had 16 rush attempts in the first half. The second half, they had 4 rushing attempts. One of them was Malik scrambling. And it just felt like they went so conservative late, and Malik, the offense really was not pushing the ball downfield at all. How many screen passes did we see repeatedly? But it was a defensive collapse, and I know a lot of people are pointing to it was a horrific taunting call.
The refs sucked. The targeting call and Sidney Stewart was bad too.
But that's not why they lost.
Blow
the
a 20-0 lead.
No. Exactly.
I'm curious.
That's not why they lost.
You were there. It's the first sellout in a minute. How was the crowd? How was the atmosphere on Saturday?
People were fired up. People were believing. Unfortunately, there was this idiot kid behind me who, they go up 20-0, and he starts taking a victory lap. Terps money line and the under. I told everybody, he starts referring to himself third person, and he's literally all his little Mookie friends.
Mookie.
He's sitting there, again,
he had Mookie
lot
Wilson
of football
and Mookie
to play. And that's all I kept hearing from these kids in this section around me was how they've won all their bets because it's Terps money line and the under. And I'm just like, part of me really wanted to say something, but I'm like, they'll learn the hard way. But no, the kids were into it. The student section was packed. It was loud on third downs. Everybody really wanted this, seemingly, except for the offensive and defensive coordinator. And so I have to put that all on locks. I mean, to basically not possess the ball ever again after going up 20-0 is impossible. It's impossible.
They had like a 96% chance winning percentage in the fourth quarter of that game. And that's where, again, the fashion in how they lost, and it very kind of similar to the Bills game, the Ravens game, week one, where if they would have found a way, man, like everyone was buying in, and you have Nebraska this week, I think that would have been another sellout. Like people.
Dude, I think Washington had 20 first downs in the second half of the game, really from the middle of the third quarter on. They had like 20 first downs.
Dude, they had 12 first downs in the fourth quarter alone. 12 in the first quarter.
Let's hear from Mike Locksley, who talks about how his kids are responding to the loss.
Well, I think probably the most impressive thing was to see my freshman quarterback the way he ended his press conference. I think that showed who we are and what kind of team we have. The way Malik, as a young guy, I think kind of wanted to leave you guys with some things. And I thought that was impressive. That shows maturity. I think when you see a guy like Sidney Stewart and his reaction to being thrown out of the game and how he responded with his teammates, when you see a guy like number 6 who had a tough day at the office stand in front of his team yesterday and own his stuff and apologize to his team that, hey, you know what? I lost my stuff and it affected us. That tells me these are the things y'all don't get to see and you don't write about. And hopefully me telling you these things will allow you to be a little more positive about it with these guys. But we got a good little team, and I'm going to rock with them. We're good.
Hey, coach, it's you. It ain't the kids. It's you. I love Locks. I really wanted this to work. But, like, when you're 0-10 off a bye and you're telling me you don't want to hear about the past, bro, it just happened again in real time, and it happened in calamitous fashion. You're the head coach, and you're an offensive guy, and you're up 20-0, and these are your final drives. 3 plays for 4 yards, 1 minute and 20 seconds. 3 plays for 1 yard, 1 minute and 32 seconds. 6 plays for 15 yards, 2 minutes and 54 seconds. 7 plays, 32 yards, 1 minute and 38 seconds.
Not good.
That was the game.
Like it.
At the same time, your D coordinator can't get a stop to save his life and can't even know when to call a timeout because he's got the kids so confused they don't know who's supposed to be on the field and who's not. When that 3rd and 10, you get one more stop. That's the biggest win in your program's history since you took over it. Those kids are dying to storm the field and you stole it from them. You, as in coaches, not the players.
So let's try to spin this forward a little. As your opinion, if they would have won that game, as Bone said, and then this game becomes another big game against Nebraska, how do you feel about this game against Nebraska on Saturday?
Well, it's like return to home weekend. So, like, a lot of the kids are going home because they have, like, fall break.
Mm-hmm.
That student section ain't going to be nearly as raucous. I don't know how these kids aren't down on themselves. And, again, we're not pointing the finger at the kids. We're pointing the finger at the coaches.
But isn't this another huge spot where it's like this game is going to be really telling about this team as well? Because
it's a really young team. If the coaches aren't up for it, the kids aren't going to be able to get it done.
100%. But I'm saying, like, how do they respond from that gut punch loss? How can you prevent another downturn of years past?
They had two options if you're Pep Hamilton. Run the ball or continue to take some shots down. Like, these little screens to nowhere. These check downs to nowhere. I mean, how about you get your quarterback on the move a little bit?
Beltway Ben, how are you feeling about this? Because I know you're a massive Maryland fan, and I'm sure this game broke your heart on Saturday.
Yeah, it didn't break the wallet. I did have Washington, but no, Jason I was going to say word for word what Jason just said. Not only did you not run it, but when you did throw it, it was handcuffing Malik and letting them tee off on screens, which got nowhere. They throw the ball down the field one time on the game-winning drive, and Jaleel Farouk drops a pass. Malik put it exactly where it needed to be. The touchdown one, they were inches away when they ended up kicking a field goal. The play calling in the second half, I could not believe what I was seeing. We saw against Wisconsin. Now they blow them out. The score looked the way it did. The statement there was them running a play pass and letting Malik take the top off and take a shot down the field. I was waiting for it. I'm like, bring it, bring it, bring it. And they didn't do it. And another thing you just mentioned, they like using Malik's legs in the red zone. And I get he's a freshman. They're trying to protect him. They got to unload his legs a little. I mean, he's more athletic than he's shown. He hasn't ran the football a lot. The run game, which looked good early, that they went away from, that's only going to open up more when the quarterback, they get him more involved in the run game. I don't fully get it. I think they're trying to protect him. They don't want him to get hurt. But in a game like that, especially when you decide not to run the ball the way you did and just screen away. And
you're coming off a bye. I mean, I didn't get it. He hadn't been hit in 2 weeks.
He wasn't hit a lot. You saw him play a lot in high school, too. Am I crazy? He can run the ball.
Yes, he can run the ball.
And they won't.
He ran the point on their basketball team.
I know. I don't understand. It's crazy. They don't have him running at all.
Maryland plays Nebraska this Saturday. It's a 3:30 start. You can hear the game right here on 105.7 The Fan. But coming up next, it's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
I think something that's even more frustrating with the Ravens' disastrous start to their season is just how wide open the AFC is. The AFC is more wide open than it's been in years, and we'll get into it next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Ken, it's incredible. We're in week six of the NFL.
Life comes at you fast.
It is so fast. And now that most teams, because they did have buys last week, but most teams have played five games at this point, so you're starting to get an idea on all 32 teams. And if you look, and I know things are going to change, there's still several games to go, but if you look at the playoff picture in the AFC right now, it's kind of unrecognizable compared to years past, where you think of the four teams, Ravens, Chiefs, Texans, and Bills. Those four teams have been in the divisional round of the playoffs each of the past two seasons. Well, the Ravens, Chiefs, and Texans are on the outside looking in already. They've all gotten off to slow starts. We already know the Ravens situation. We talk about them ad nauseum. The Chiefs, they lost a game and making just critical mistakes at the end of the game doing so, starting with the kickoff out of bounds to give Trevor Lawrence and company a short field. And
how often do you see Patrick Mahomes throw a pick six in the red zone?
Pick six. Devin Lloyd is having a spectacular year. But the Chiefs, they were 11-0 in one-score games last year. They're already 0-3 in one-score games this year. And we were talking prior to the show, how much different would we look at the Bills if the Ravens would have held on to that game week one after they just got punched in the mouth at home by the Patriots? And then you just look at how things currently stand. You got the Colts as the one seed, Bills, Steelers, Chargers, Jags, Broncos, and Patriots. It's going to be the first year in a while where the AFC South is relevant because you got two 4-1
They might send three teams. They're going to send two. I think they might send three.
There's definitely a possibility there, and you can make the case. You can listen to some arguments for other teams, but you can make the case that the Daniel Jones-led Colts are the best team in the AFC.
Hey, if A.D. Mitchell holds on to the football, they probably beat the Rams, and they're 5-0.
Yeah, and think of the Jags. They lost to the Bengals at the gun, where Browning led that game-winning drive, and Browning threw three interceptions in that game.
There was also a baloney PI call on Hunter in that game.
Yes, there was.
That game was 31-27. They ended up losing, and Denver, they just knocked off the Eagles on the road for the Eagles' first loss of the year. Broncos, two losses, they were at the gun. And whatever you think of the Patriots, and now you got to absolutely take them seriously after that win over the Bills, they have a historically easy schedule. Their schedule is a joke. If they don't make the playoffs, it would be an upset. Here are their next eight games. Saints, Titans, Browns, Falcons, Bucks will be tough. Jets, Bengals, Giants. That's their next eight games.
Holy moly.
So their schedule is insanely soft. And I bring this all up in the fact where it's more infuriating, the Ravens' nightmare start to the season, because I can't recall a time in recent memory where the AFC is just so wide open.
Let me ask you, because we're going to do a six-pack later, the six worst teams in the NFL. Who's the team to beat in the AFC right now?
I think it's the Denver Broncos.
And I'll listen to that argument. I go with the Colts. They beat the Broncos, and I know that was the weird, leaping penalty that kind of
leverage.
It's the rule.
It's the rule. It was called correctly, but like Denver, they're certainly in the mix.
Yeah, it looks like a year where it's going to be more opportunity lost for the Ravens. There's a lot of bad teams in this league, and there's not many great ones. Like that, there's not a super team. Whoever finishes with the best record in the NFL is going to go into the playoffs with some obvious blemishes. Like I just think, like whether that's the Eagles, whether that's
Buffalo,
who doesn't have much schedule of a defense, and like I. Whoever it is, you're going to be able to make a case that they're going to be vulnerable once they come off that bye and they host a playoff game at home. Yeah, I mean, that's what the league want. Parity, parity, parity. Yeah.
Where are you on the Chiefs after last night?
Wow, I'm not surprised. I mean, I told you guys, I think Jacksonville's pretty good. Like, I thought they were fugazi. I wrote about them in the Washington Post. I talked to people I trust who are smart, way smarter than me. And they're like, no, that defensive coordinator's working wonders. And he's turning everybody over, and he's running an interesting scheme. And you can't figure out what their linebackers are doing. And then Devin Lloyd wins the freaking game. So... I don't buy Trevor Lawrence at all, yeah, but like
there's up and down there.
Trevor Lawrence like, experience,
and that's a problem. Man. But like their schedule's not that tough, and like can they split with the Colts? Like if they split with the Colts, they're probably going to the playoffs unless they really fall apart.
Both those matchups are in December.
Yeah, like I'm telling you, like Houston's not out of this thing.
Not with the defense they have.
Houston's not out of this thing at all. The Patriots are impressive. If they can keep Christian Gonzalez healthy and, you know, Vrabel's got instills a certain mentality there. And the Chiefs, like, they play a really tough schedule. They need Rice back. They need a legitimate take the top off, you know, somebody who he can pump fake to when the world stops. And that'll help. But like Chris Jones,
that was not, that was even, not,
I mean, just all season. Like he, it looks like Father Time is kicking his ass. They don't have a secondary edge rusher you have to worry about. The kicker is a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how all those one score games they won where their kicker was better than yours. That's not the case. That, once that goes, that's a big deal. So, no, I think they're vulnerable, obviously.
Coming up next, a couple years ago, the Ravens were considered the greatest team of all time, according to DVOA. How do we know? Because Aaron Schatz, the creator of DVOA, he's now the chief analytics officer for FTM Fantasy. He told us, and he'll join us next. What's he think of this Ravens team? He'll tell us next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.